Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
Depending on where you're riding out, usually you're up between 6 and 7. You're going, you're riding out. You could be riding at one place, you could be then going to ride work for someone else, and you could be going racing. You know, you're definitely kept busy anyway.
I suppose everyone's a danger. When you come to Cheltenham, it's so competitive. It's all about kind of getting into a rhythm and trying to hold on to everything you can, because it's a long way up the home straight and you're climbing a hill as well.
She's getting rides from Willie, from Gordon, from all the main trainers now. She's clearly one of the well-established leading jockeys in Ireland.
No, I haven't actually watched the Gold Cup at all. I never watched it. I'm very good at sort of just forgetting something, you know, you just put it in a box and don't get it out again.
Jessie is the only woman in the upper echelons of training. Women are stronger people than men mentally. And men are slick a bit. And women don't. The real strong women say, go f*** yourself.
So there you have it. That's a clip from Junk Girls, which airs on TG Carhart later on this evening. And delighted to say I'm joined in studio by the programme's director, Luke McManus, and also jockey Katie O'Farrell. You're very welcome to the programme. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Katie, we'll come to yourself and how you've ended up in this line of life. Well, I suppose it's a graduation of life into profession more than anything else in just a moment. But Luke, a lot of people, the previous documentary when it came out made such an impact on people, and the stark reality for a lot of people of what life at the top end was like as a jockey. Was it always inevitable that there was going to be a follow-up, or was there always inevitable that there was going to be a follow-up which focused on female jockeys?
Well, to be fair, I think TG Cahir were always keen to do Jump Girls as a sequel to Jump Boys, and myself and the producers, Dennis Kerwin and Stephen Cullinan, were sort of maybe needed to be convinced a little bit, you know, because at that time there really was just two amateur riders, Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh, and obviously Jessica Harrington was well established. But then as the years went by, professionals started to emerge. You had Rachel Blackmore, you had Katie O'Farrell, who's with us today, turning pro, and then over in the UK you had Lizzie Kelly and Bryony Frost emerging as kind of major riders as well. And Jessica had an unbelievable season then, 2017, so it sort of felt right, this is the right time to go for it. So, and it was great to do it because a lot of stuff has happened, not just in racing but around women's sport generally. You know, so many big Irish characters like your Kelly Harrington and Katie Taylor, and you know, the ladies football finals getting so many people attending and breaking records. So, you know, we've done a little bit of work with 20 by 20, you know, on our documentary, just because it feels to me that the momentum is behind women's sport across the board now. But what was interesting about racing was, you know, we started off making a film about racing, women and racing, but it very quickly just became a film about jockeys and trainers, because the women don't want to dwell on the fact that they're women. You know, it's not really an issue for them, you know.
Well, Katie, we'll get straight into that. This is a documentary which is about jockeys who happen to be female rather than female jockeys. Is that a fair way of describing it? I know that sounds somewhat complicated, but like, does it drive you demented to be described as a female jockey rather than just a jockey?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think it is a big thing. We're just jockeys. We're just out there doing our job like any of the rest of them. And for us, we don't see it that way. Like, we're just in there doing our job and doing what we love to do. We don't see that, you know, segregation or like difference between us that other people might. But I do think it's changing, and it's changing, it's evolving all the time, which is great.
How difficult is it then? Like are you constantly being asked, how can a girl do this, how can a woman do this compared to the men, when in reality, like, this and modern pentathlon are the two sports where men and women compete side by side, and, you know, racing has probably been the leader in terms of active male versus female participation?
Yeah, like, there's nothing like getting out there and just showing it, like, showing you can do what they can do, and you know, go out and beat them at the game. But definitely, it's probably the difficulty comes from trying to get the opportunities to show that, to show what you can do and what you have to offer, and, you know, where your ability lies among the rest of them. You know, it's just getting the chances to do that is the difficult thing.
And it's just about seizing those opportunities then, you know, getting rides and then maximising it.
Yeah, I suppose for me, it's like a constant trying to just improve myself and my, you know, my strength or my fitness or whatever it is, so that if and when the opportunities arise, you know, you're ready for them and you make good of them.
Mm. Luke, is it a difficult sell to approach athletes like this and try and say to female athletes, we're making a documentary purely about female sport? Because in the past, an awful lot of media coverage and a lot of people, and maybe ourselves included in here, have been guilty of somewhat patronising level of coverage, or that it's coverage for coverage's sake rather than for merit's sake.
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to try and patronise Jessica Harrington and Katie Walsh, good luck to
you. You're a brave man.
You know, I think there was a little bit of reluctance maybe, but on the part of the participants. But I think the Jump Boys experience, and we did one about Arkell, the great steeplechaser from the 60s, and we did one about Galway Races for TG Car. So we do have that kind of track record. And I think among racing people, it's a tight enough community, and they kind of go, right, these guys are okay. They're truth tellers about the sport, you know, and they've done it in the past. So there was an element of trust there. It's interesting what Katie was saying, though. I think one thing Rachel Blackmore said to us was that Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh, they kind of proved that women could do it. You know, like, they were the ones, like, if you look at Nina's record at Cheltenham, you know, the number of winners, I think she had seven festival winners.
Seven, I think.
You know,
yeah,
like, if you look at what Katie Walsh achieved, you know, they both won the Irish Grand National. Katie came so close to winning the English Grand National. You know, they were able to do it. They were unbelievable, talented riders. So I think that idea of, oh, you know, girls can't ride horses, they pretty much put pay to that.
Katie, what's the support structure like within racing? Because to look at it from the outside in, there's so much at stake for the individual jockeys that our natural presumption would be that there's going to be egos and tension and I want to beat you and I'm not going to give you a dig out. But it's the opposite, really, isn't it? It is like a band of brothers and sisters.
It is, to be fair. I think we all know how difficult it is. So, the you know, and how changeable it can be, you know, from good times to bad. And I don't think among ourselves, although we're competitors and we're against each other, we're not trying to make it any harder for each other than it already is. So, yeah, there is definitely a sense of camaraderie in the weigh room. And
was it always inevitable that you'd end up in racing, considering your background?
Possibly.
Like, can you, like, did you ever have ambitions to do anything else?
Well, I did go to college and study to be a teacher, which would have been a much more pleasant route, I suppose.
Some would debate that,
because
everyone teaches that.
To be honest, I think I was in I went to college, my mum drilled it into me from, you know, an early age that you've got to be educated and this, that and the other. So I did it not against my will, but I didn't really have any, I didn't know what I wanted to do or be. There was nothing in college. I knew a month in, I was like, this is not for me, but I'm not going to drop out to do nothing. I want to have an education, and at least I could play around with the idea of being a teacher down the line maybe. So when I finished and got my degree, I just went straight into horses from there. I went to work in Ballydoyle for Aidan O'Brien for 2 years, and it was during that time I rode as an amateur and improved and was riding in a lot of professional races as an amateur. So that's kind of what instigated the move for me, the change.
And did you personally experience much opposition or much questioning of, you know, why don't you go off and do something else with your life rather than try and bring this upon yourself? I don't mean to be patronising in asking that, but that's that is something that female jockeys have had to deal with in the past.
Yeah, like, yeah and no. I think there's a bit of both. While there is a small want in my parents maybe, or people that care about me for my safety, I suppose, just to maybe, like, would it not be better now, and, like, you know, if I'm sporting a little black eye at the minute, or I was on crutches or whatever, there would be people just out of concern and care for you that they would want you to do something that you're not so much at risk. But at the same time, the support I get and the support network of people all around me is huge, and, you know, you can't do it without that.
But you've had the same story as every other jockey. You've come back from, like, very serious injury. You've ridden with, like, true to say, you rode with a broken leg without realising you'd broken it.
Yeah.
That's inconceivable.
When people say it out loud, I'm like, yeah, that even sounds stupid. What was I doing?
I have a paper cut that I've got a week's sympathy out of at home. Genuinely.
Sometimes they're the worst, though.
Well, they are.
Sometimes
you tell
my back's really sore right now, by the way. It's really sore.
You are a different breed. Jockeys.
Well, people say stuff like that, but I think it's just, it's like, it's sort of a passion. Like I love what I do, and these are the things that are involved in doing it. So
I wouldn't be here with a broken leg.
But you had a huge win at Galway, and that adrenaline and that excitement and that momentum.
Yeah, I mean, I think in five minutes of glory like that in Galway, it condenses all of the hard work and makes it so worthwhile. Like the struggle that you could live through for months and months and months, you know, one good day could turn that whole thing around. I think that's the beauty of it. And I think what you were saying earlier about the documentary and trying to really pull the highs and lows out of it, I think a coping mechanism for us would be try not to get too high, because the lows will get very low then. I think that's just a coping mechanism. So it took a while probably for you to break down our walls and for us to show the real highs and lows of it, because we just don't want to dwell on
it
too much.
So what would success be for you then for the rest of the season? Like, are you the type of individual who sits down with very defined targets for the year ahead?
I am, actually, but it doesn't serve me well, because there's so many things that I can't control. Yeah. You know, I want this and that and the other, but I don't have the horses. You know, I have to hopefully get the horses from other people, or owners want me on their horses. So it's difficult to make big aims and goals when you're kind of, you're at the mercy of other people's generosity. And it's just trying to do the work to gain the rides.
But then at the same time, you're a big win or a notable ride away from those that, you know.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I mean, I've never, I haven't ridden at Cheltenham before, but I hopefully something might come up this year, and like a small bit of luck coming your way could just turn everything around hugely, you know. So I suppose just this year would be, for the rest of this season, I suppose it is, the main thing would be just to build up my momentum again and get more winners on the board, and hopefully roll into next season, you know, on good terms and get rolling for hopefully the championship next year, the conditional championship.
How important would it be if Rachel went on to win the championship this year?
Oh, huge. Like, but I think it's brilliant that she's still up there neck and neck, and I hope that she continues to get the ammo. It's just closer to the end of the year. It does get very difficult because it's so competitive. But she's right up there, and she's every chance. So.
It's interesting. I was looking at an article about her during the week, which was kind of drew attention to the fact that she's had so many rides relative to other jockeys, as if it was a criticism, when the reality is it just means that big trainers are trusting her with the big rides.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, to me, there's so often I feel like saying, yeah, what's your point? Like, she's a jockey. She's out there doing her job. Like, no one questions why Paul Townend is up there at the top of the scale, or Jack Kennedy. They're just out there doing the job, and she's no different to any, like, we're no different to any of them.
And is the conversation around that aspect of gender, is that becoming less and less an issue for you, or is it still something that people talk to you about as much now as they ever did, says he, talking to you about it?
I don't know, for a long time I was like, oh, not this again. Like, we're just jockeys. We're just, you know, you want to talk about the whole, like, if for a while it felt like we were making an issue of it by talking about it so much.
But you're, now you're answering questions that are being asked of you by idiots like
now,
me.
Now I see the impact that, you know, the whole thing can have, and it's bigger than just us. It's, you know, there's a movement of women in sport and women in racing, and I think it's, you know, like that it is bigger, and Luke has shown that in the documentary.
I suppose what Katie's story is the story of, not the story of a woman jockey, what it is the story of a very, very talented, driven, ambitious, hardworking jockey who is struggling with injuries, who is struggling with the mental, how mentally taxing it is, and who is struggling to get the rides that she deserves. But there's loads of men in that position. And it's probably a more representative story of the life of a jockey than Rachel's story or Ruby Walsh's story was. You know, like, ultimately there's a few people doing brilliant, and there's a lot of people who are grafting and just getting by and desperately looking for the big break and working.
What aspect of the career, Katie, do you struggle with the most? Like, is it that, like, there is a unique level of personal criticism that can be directed at you? Like, the Irish soccer team, or sorry, the Irish rugby team play Sunday. If one player does something, they lose the game. It's still a team game. But
Henshaw was brutal, though, wasn't he?
But, like, and you know, like, and I know, like, Ruby made light of it in an advertising campaign for one of the bookmakers when he tracked someone down who'd been very vocal against him on Twitter.
Yes, yeah.
Like, we were just talking about that, actually.
Yeah, that, but that whole thing must be very, very difficult where. Do people in some circumstances hold you personally responsible for how things have gone wrong because of they've missed out on their own financial gain?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it can be like that.
Are you on Twitter?
No, but they're on to me about getting onto it. For me, Twitter, like, it just seems like this platform where you can be criticised and not actually faced to the person. You know, people can say things but not have to stand behind it. And maybe that's an unfair thing. I feel like I don't really want to put myself out there for that. Like, you're already in the public eye and trying to please so many people. I think the hardest thing for me would be the number of things that are out of your control, and you know, you come in with one story but they're standing in the stands seeing something completely different. And if they've got their fiver down, it's a big deal, you know.
It airs 9:30 tonight on TG Cahir. It's repeated at the weekend. There's part two to come next week. Jump Girls taking place or broadcast on TG Cahir later on this evening. Great thanks to director Luke McManus and jockey Katie O'Farrell. Thank you both for joining us in studio.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks a mil.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.